Hi, this is Eli Nelson, and this is the My City Church Podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. It is our prayer that this message will awaken you to come alive in the things of Christ. Enjoy the message.
Hey, how are y'all ready for the Word of God this morning? You got your Bibles? Let me see them. Grab your Bible. If it's on your phone, that's fine. Hold your Bible up in the air. Look at it. You guys are already ahead of me. Say, this is my Bible. Say, this is the Word of God. It's going to speak to you today. Holy Spirit's going to speak to you today. Open up to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Verse 35, we're reading out of the NIV translation. It's the translation I grew up on. That's why I prefer it. You may read out of the ESV, New King James, or maybe you're like my father-in-law and you got a King James version. Ye verily I say unto thee, right? This is what I encourage you to do. Find a translation that you can read. If it's too hard to read, there's some other ones. NLT is a great modern translation that I would say being in the Word of God and understanding it is more important than reading the quote-unquote right translation, because as any scholar of the Word, a studier of the Word, a theologian, by the way, we should all study God, right? Not just the theologians. We shouldn't leave that to the scholarly, but every one of us is called to study God, right? As we all dive in, we should compare translations. We should not just dive into paraphrase translations and any of that sort, but find a Bible that you can read, because better to read the Word of God and understand it than to have it sit on your shelf. Amen? Mark chapter 5, verse 35, we're reading about Jesus today. The context of this verse is a man whose daughter is dying. He's not just a man, but he's a synagogue ruler. His name is Jairus. Say Jairus. He's a man who goes to Jesus and says, she is sick, can you pray for her? And Jesus says, yeah, I will. Jesus knew what was going to happen. On his way, this woman with an issue of blood interrupted him. She got healed, by the way, because you reach out to Jesus, you're going to find healing. Amen? Every time you reach out to Jesus, you're going to find healing. Jesus gets interrupted, and then he starts sharing like all these things about this woman, this daughter. And in the middle of that testimony that Jesus was sharing about her healing, we find Jesus interrupted. In Mark chapter 5, verse 35, it says, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? He's a leader in the synagogue. At that time, that's like the early type church, and then that wasn't the ecclesia, but it kind of was in a way. He was a man of God. Just because you're a man of God, that does not exempt you from hardship. And the Bible says, this is New Testament, by the way, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I will have overcome the world. We talked a little bit about some of those passages last week that you endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Just because you go through it doesn't mean that God is not with you in it. Can I get an amen? He's a synagogue ruler, and he's just found out his daughter has died. Verse 36, overhearing what they said, because Jesus is always eavesdropping. Not in a rude way, though. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's eavesdropping not to gossip, but to give his input. Next time you have your own conversations in your head, just take a moment and ask yourself, what would the Holy Spirit say about what I'm thinking? Let God give his input. Let the Holy Spirit be able to speak and say, hey, like, by the way, this isn't like, whatever is good, whatever is holy, whatever is pure, think on such things. By the way, you're like not doing well going down this path. Let God give his input. Jesus told him, don't be afraid. Say, don't be afraid. Just believe. One of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. The whole Bible. Verse 37. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, Peter, James, and John, and went in where the child was, he took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Amen, amen. Jesus is incredible, isn't he? I tell you, the same Jesus that we read in the Bible is the same Jesus that we can encounter today. The Holy Spirit is still moving today, just like he did back in the New Testament. Everything that you read that Jesus has done back then, he can do in your life today. But I want to highlight just a few things within that passage. One, some of the things that Jesus did, but also who he did it with. We've been talking over the last few weeks, built to last. And I want to ask you this question today. Who are you building with? Who are you building with? You want to last. Well, who's around you? Notice, he only took Peter, James, and John, and all the people that were wailing everything, kind of put them outside, brought in the mother and father, and then the miracle happened. I can tell you, to see God move in your life, sometimes you have to push out the things that are holding you back to be able to walk into what God has for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Would you speak through your servant this morning? God, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you speak to your people? Strengthen them. Help us to see you in this word. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, as you make your way to your seat, I need you to know today, you don't need everybody, but you do need somebody. Turn to your neighbor as you sit down and ask that question. Are you that somebody? Are you that somebody? We pick up in the middle of this story, and I love how Jesus always comes in with a plan. Can I tell you, even when things seem a little crazy and chaotic in your life, Jesus still has a plan. I'll have you turn up the house lights just a little bit. I want to be able to see the people. The screen's going to go out. I can't really see the people I'm talking to today. Hey, give me a good wave so I can see you. Fantastic. I love all the hands going up. Hey, I can hear you, Mike. Hey, I love it. Jesus always has a plan. Say, he has a plan. Jairus didn't know the plan, but Jesus knew the plan. Jairus didn't know the plan, but Jesus knew the plan. Now, unfortunately, Jairus has a choice to make, to either walk with Jesus in the plan or to not bother the teacher anymore. And I can't help but think in your life, you have a decision to make every single day on whose report to believe. You can either receive and believe the report of the messenger, the people of the house which came said, hey, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Or you can believe the voice of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that says, do not be afraid, just believe. Can I tell you, you always find yourself in between two voices, two opinions. And until your dying breath, the devil will continue to try to convince you that God is not who he says he is. God's looking for a church that will believe him at who he says he is. God's looking for a people to make a statement to the spiritual forces of this world that God is who he says he is. Will you be one that listens to those voices of truth and the spirit of truth, or lies in deceit? You have a choice to follow those two reports between don't bother him versus don't be afraid. I can't help but believe a lot of us, and for the most part, this world is tempted to follow the voice of don't bother. Don't bother Jesus. Don't bother going to church. Don't bother praying. Jesus doesn't answer prayers anyways. Don't bother believing what that book says. It's just you and yourself. When you die, it all ends. Don't bother being a part of the church. Don't bother reading the Bible. Don't bother praying. Don't bother being connected to community. Just live your truth. I'm here to tell you today that you have the choice to either follow don't bother or don't fear, just believe. I ask you a question today. What do you believe about Jesus? How do you perceive him? Do you believe him as being this, I don't know, this far away God that if you approach him, he's ready to strike you down? And I think if you don't know that Jesus is actually the revealed God incarnate, hidden in the face of Jesus Christ, God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. I could see how you could perceive that if you just took a few passages of Scripture. But that's why it's important that we read the entire Bible, not portions of Scripture. The Bible isn't just written so that we know what God has done. It's so that we can know who he is. How would you like it if you were judged by some of your choices that you've made? Now, every choice that God has made has a purpose and a reason behind it. I'm not saying that he's made bad choices. But the same way, like, people would want us, we would want other people to know us by our entirety. God's like saying, hey, if you just knew my character, you would know why I did certain things. Because God is fully truthful. He's fully just. He's fully righteous. We're far from it. For us to be able to understand him fully, that would make us God. But we can know who he is. To read the Bible isn't just to read it to know about what he's done. It's to know about who he is. So when you read it, be able to say, hey, Holy Spirit, reveal to me Jesus as I read this word. It's one of the most powerful prayers you can pray as you read the word of God. But to be able to understand who God is, to be able to know that God is a God that speaks life, I need you to take notes. If you're writing down today, write this down. How you see God will shape how you receive from God. How you see him will shape how you receive from him. And I'm not talking about, like, I can shape God in my own image. I'm talking about getting the right perspective of who God is. That you don't have to ask God for healing when you know healing's in his wings. That you don't have to ask God for provision when you know that's his name. Jehovah Jireh, the God will provide, that God will provide. That when you know who your father is, it actually gives you a leg to stand on. Jairus didn't know who God was quite yet. He was still kind of on the fence. But he chose to walk with Jesus anyway. Will you continue to walk when you don't know? Will you continue to walk with Jesus into the unknown? I can't help but think that the same way that we have a choice to believe Jesus is who he says he is and how we see God is how we will receive from God. I tell you that it's also the case with humanity, the spouses in here. The way that you see your spouse will shape what you receive from your spouse. This isn't manipulation, but ladies, if you want a shoulder rub, you know how to talk to your husband about giving you a shoulder rub? Isn't to go and say, you don't give me shoulder rubs. You know the best way? You know what, babe? I really like how you give shoulder rubs. You're the best at giving shoulder rubs. How many husbands in here would be like, you're right, I am the best at giving shoulder rubs. You want a shoulder rub right now? I'll show you how to give a good shoulder rub. Like, you're the best provider. When you go to work, I love how you work so hard to be able to provide for our family. Like, you know what? But you also look good in the way you dress. And guess what? He's going to start paying attention to the way he dresses. Man, the way that you trim your beard. I love how you have attention to detail. I'm talking about speaking life, not speaking death. Right? It's true. It is true. It's true with your kids too. Oh, you good for nothing, lazy piece of a son. That's not speaking life over your kid. Now, you may have received that from your parents, but I can tell you that's not what our Heavenly Father views you as. But you have children in here. You know what I say to my little boy? I say, what's up, smart dude? I add an adjective to describe how I see him. Whether he believes he's not, I'm going to speak that over him. Can I tell you, as parents, you have the ability to speak life over your kids. Are there people in your life that are speaking life? Who are you building with? What's happening with the people that are speaking life around you? You'll always be between these two reports, to believe the ones that are speaking life or the ones that are speaking death. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Which report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report that the messenger says or the report of Jesus? The report of the diagnosis or the report of healing? Are you going to believe the report of your experience or the report of what the Bible says and having faith? Are you going to believe the report of who you were and the devil saying, hey, you'll never change, or to believe the report that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ, the old is gone, the new has coming. Which report will you believe? The report of your situation or the report of your revelation that you've encountered the Holy Spirit, that he's continuing to make you new day by day, that the old is gone, the new has come, healing is in his wings, God is coming in Jesus' name to transform the situation. Are you going to walk with Jesus to see it happen? Or are you going to stand still and be like, that's all right, Jesus, she's dead? Are you going to be one to be like, no, there's no point. I've lost so many years. I've been speaking death over my kids for so long. I can't imagine, like, can I revert back to safe and say, like, God, if I could get the last 15 years back, oh, man, how I would do it different. And God's saying, you wouldn't. You know why? Because you're not right now. You know why you're not going to do it different? Because you're not right now. Oh, but Jesus, like, hold on a second. If you gave me another shot, no, even if someone rose from the dead, you wouldn't believe. That's why the choices that you're making right now determine actually the person you're going to be. A lot of us are living in hindsight. Man, if I only, if I only, if I only. I'm talking about, what are you going to do right now? Are you going to follow Jesus right now? Man, if I would have been following, I wish I would have started following Jesus when I was younger. Then I would have gotten into the word a lot more. Then I actually would have gone to church. Then I would have. But you didn't, or you're not right now, which means that you wouldn't. If you just take a moment and say, okay, what choices am I making today? The Bible says that he can do more in a day than you could do in 100 years. And not only that, but he can actually restore years that you feel like you've lost. Is God so small that, well, I missed my window? I got news for you, my friend. Jesus can make a new window. Well, I missed my opportunity. Say that to Moses, who was 80. Well, I missed out. Say that to Abraham when God showed up and said, you're going to be the father of many nations. I don't got a kid, God. God can do in a moment what you couldn't do in a lifetime. Joel 22, verse 25 says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Hold on a second. Like, when you choose to follow the Lord, he can make up for time that you feel like you've lost. Can I tell you, that's who our God is. The devil may come to you and say, hey, Jairus, you're out of time. You've missed your window. But I don't know about you. We serve the author of time. He created the time, and if he can make the sun stand still, certainly he can give you more time. Certainly he can work in your life. Right now, I'm here to tell someone today that it's not over. Jairus has a moment, and a critical moment in his life, and he has to decide, who is he going to believe? One says she's dead. The other says, no, she's only sleeping. Jesus says, hey, it's not over. It's not over. Even if you feel like it is, it's not. We serve a God who can make a way. And he can decide what time you are going to see him move. I'm here to tell someone today, you didn't miss your time. You're actually right on time. Say that. Say, I'm right on time. Declare it today. I'm right on time. You got to know you haven't missed your window. Right now, you know what? I would have been a man of prayer back then. You're right on time. Start now. I would have been a man of the word back then. You're right on time. Start now. I would have been a man who spoke life. Well, I got to undo it. God can undo that. Start speaking life right now. You are the most beautiful woman I have ever seen. Right? Well, I've never really said that. Like, I'm proud of you, son. Well, I haven't done that for the last 20 years. You can start today. You're right on time. Say right on time. Right on time. And the devil comes in and says, you're out of time, not Jesus. And he says, don't be afraid. Just believe. A lot of people, though, they want to go around and receive the promises of God, but they don't understand that the promises of God are attached to the process of God. Say process. Philippians 4:6 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's almost like Paul's speaking about Jairus' situation. Hey, I know she died. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, Jairus, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So that's known as the process. The promise is in verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard your heart. A lot of us want the peace of God, but we're not submitting to the process of God. God is a God of faith, but he's also a God of practicality. To be a person oh, well, I believe God. So, like, you got to be able to step with Jesus and not partner with, oh, well, she died. He says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Okay, so I'm going to partner. Would the centurion say, like, you don't even need to come, Jesus. Like, you could just speak the word and she would be healed. In your life, if you want to be able to have the peace of God, you got to be able to go through the process of prayer, petition, with thanksgiving. And this is what I've seen with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is borderline thanking God, not for the outcome, but for who he is. That even though I'm in it, he's still there with me. I got news for you, my friend. Even if you feel like you're in the storm, guess who's sleeping in the boat next to you? Even if you feel like you're walking around and you're seeing the storms and the waves, you may be looking at the waves, but Jesus never took his eyes off you. Even if you're sinking, Peter, he looked at the waves and he looked at the storm, but Jesus reached down and caught him because he was looking at him the whole time. I got news for you today that no matter what you've been going through, no matter what you've experienced, if you feel like you're in a Jaira situation, God is watching you and he's never taken his eyes off of you. But you want that peace? You got to do the process to receive that peace. You can't just say, oh, man, I'm supposed to get the peace. But you never talked to God? You never changed your heart and said, you know what? I'm going to thank him for things that even if he doesn't, yet will I serve him. I'm going to align my heart with who he is, not just serve him for the outcome that I want to receive. That's a lot of problems that us Christians face is that this would be something good for you to remember, a good life lesson for you to remember. A lot of us are hungry for the result that God brings. And all you're doing is setting yourself up, for the most part, disappointment. Because God isn't as much as bringing you something as much as he is interested in transforming you into someone. And sometimes situations will come into your life because God is trying to get something to transform inside of you rather than God to get something to do something for you. To be able to say, Lord, what are you doing in me? Is more important to ask than, God, what are you doing for me? I can't help but think that Jairus was on a journey just as much as his daughter was. I can't help but think that he was knowing God as the resurrection and life just as much as his daughter was. Can I tell you that God's doing something in you in this season that you're in? But you got to ask yourself, what am I building my confidence on? That the situation would change? Or that I would know that God is with me in every situation. Because then it's every storm I face. I question, I'm like, oh, God, where'd you go? And it's like, he's like, I never left you to begin with. But you're basing your life on the result that you're getting. Anyways, who are you building with? So we see Jairus going into this house with Jesus to receive this blessing. Get this today. That Jesus had to remove some people from the situation. Jairus had Jesus with him. He had the power of Jesus. He had the presence of Jesus. Remember, Jesus, God incarnate, faith-filled. However, Jesus, although being faith-filled, was not absent in practicality. He actually removed the people from the room. And what that does is it demonstrates that there is an atmosphere in his home that needs to be removed in order for ministry to happen. Everyone say process. There's a process that even Jesus abide by. You want to have life change? It happens through process. We have all sorts of courses, all sorts of things available at the church. We gather together every single Sunday, by the way. We have groups. You have the Word of God. You got a plethora of worship music at your disposal. You don't always have to listen to the stuff you hear on 96.1 or anything like that. You don't always who listens to the radio still? I do. Like, all right, there's still a decent amount of people, right? But there are so many options. You want to see the transformed life? You got to go through the process. You got to stay committed. You got to stay consistent to the reading. Well, I tried that Bible reading. You've been reading these books, these other books, your entire life. You try the Bible for 1 week. And you think it's going to transform you that fast? Now, don't get me wrong. God can do it in a moment. But you're also called to a lifestyle, not an activity. Right? Not just adopting the latest trend. Right? Well, I read my verse of the day. Meanwhile, you're watching Fox News for an hour and a half every day. No wonder your life is full of anxiety, because they're always talking about how the world is going to end. Or this next thing, and children are 2 years behind because of COVID. And, well, not my kids in Jesus' name, right? Like, you got to be able to have a level of faith, but you got to ask yourself, what process am I partaking in? Jairus had the choice to either be in the process of like, oh, but God, all these people are around. Jesus, remove them. Open up your Bibles, Mark 5, verse 39. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep. What did they do? They laughed at him. Can I tell you, the world will laugh at the things that you are partaking in. The world will laugh at the process. Well, you know what? Well, how are you seeing life change? You got to go to this therapy thing and that and X, Y, Z. And it's like, well, I'm going to keep reading the Bible and watch how it transforms me. Well, I'm going to keep praying and I'm going to keep worshiping. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on a fast. Oh, you know what? I heard about that. You know that Joe Rogan talked about that. You go on a fast, you can defeat cancer. He's like, yeah. That's Joe Rogan. I'm talking about the Bible here. They took that from the Bible to know that it can transform your life. Can I tell you, as you die to your flesh, your spirit is revived in Jesus' name, right? So a fast has more benefits than just health, but it's also spiritual, right? Well, that's a little bit ridiculous, you know? The world will think it's ridiculous, but Jesus says, no, it's practical. It's process. So what is happening is, they had these mourners that they would actually pay to go into these houses and they would cry and wail. That's why they can shift so fast from crying, because they were fake crying. You got to be mindful of the friends that are around you just because they're trying to get something from you. They were there because they were getting paid. They were profiting off of their pain. They were fake friends. They were fake employees. They were just there to do a job. And so when Jesus said this girl is not dead, but only asleep, they quickly were able to shift from fake crying to laughing, because they may have been with you in countenance, but not in spirit. When the Bible says to weep with those who weep, it means to feel their pain with them. It means to try to have empathy with your brother and your sister, to not just go and be like, hey, come on, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yeah, but they're going through heartache right now. To be able to say, Holy Spirit, help me to feel what they're feeling. That's what it means to be one with one another, to be the body of Christ. So you got to remove some people. Say, get them out. Say it one more time. Say, get them out. Jesus says, I got blessing for you, but some things have to be removed from your life in order to receive what I have for you. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and the leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. He says, blessed is the man. His leaf does not wither. All that he does, prosper. Blessed is the man if he doesn't hang out with these people. Can I ask you, who are you building with? He says, you're not listening to the counsel of the wicked. You're not walking with that. You're not standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of scoffer. I ask you today, all of these blessings were contingent on who they were with. Who are you with? Who are your friends? Who are you building with? Who are the people that influence you? I can look at all sorts of people. They can have the best intentions in the world. But if they don't separate the people that are influencing them or the resources that are influencing them, you're not going to make it. And Jesus says, these people got to go. They got to go. You come in here. All those fakes, they got to leave. They got to leave your life. I'm not saying cut them off completely, but you got to be mindful of who's influencing you. We're making a pivot right here. Who's influencing you? It says, who walks in the counsel of the wicked. What does that mean? That's their opinions. Who's advising you to live their life? Yeah, you heard me. Their life. Because if you don't want what they have, eventually, or if you're listening to them, you will eventually receive what they have. If you don't want their life, then don't let them speak into your life. Now, I'm not talking about getting advice. I can get advice from someone that maybe isn't in shape, but they can teach me how to have healthy muscles, because knowledge is one thing, but influence is another. Who do you allow to influence your life? You hang around a bunch of people that are cursing, guess what? Eventually, it's going to become a part of your life. You hang around a bunch of people that are talking negatively, guess what? Eventually it's going to be a part of your life. You hang around a bunch of people that gossip, guess what? Eventually you're going to become a gossip. You hang around enough people that are partaking, you got to find out who's influencing you. Information is one, influence is another. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Where do you get your counsel from?
TikTok. I was watching this YouTube the other day, and this one pastor said this.
Okay, who's the pastor? And just because they call themselves a pastor does not mean they are a pastor. Pastor is a gifting given by God, not by people. Just because they're over something, or just because they got a credential, anyone can go to Bible college. But God calls certain people to be pastors, certain people to be teachers, certain people to be evangelists. Where did you get your information from? Can I tell you? YouTube is not always your best source. Now you got to find, am I getting information or are they actually influencing me? Check the fruit. Check the fruit. Say that. Say check the fruit. Does it cause you not to want to read the Bible? Does it cause you not to want to go to church? Check the fruit. Does it cause you not to want to pray? Check the fruit. If it causes you not to want to be a part of the body of Christ, to read the word, to pray, or to worship, it's unhealthy fruit. You got to check the fruit. If it's bad fruit, it's a bad root. Take a moment, just say, what is this producing in my life? Man, I'm sure bitter right now and angry at the world right now. I've been absorbing CNN. Man, I just feel so depressed. So this is what we do. It's called doom scrolling. The sadder you get, or the more frustrated you get, you try to zone out and you just doom scroll. 10 minutes becomes 30 minutes. Babe, I'm going to go to bed early. 2 hours later, I thought you went to bed early. Oh, I did. Like, I just wanted to unwind, but that's not going to renew your soul. What you thought you needed was actually what you needed to avoid. You needed to be filled with this Holy Spirit. You needed to be filled with the power of God. You needed to pray. You needed to worship. You needed to read the Bible. Watch how it renews your soul. Right? So you're going around, you're walking in the counsel of the wicked. Don't be surprised when you're not blessed. Who's advising you? Who are you walking with? What is that? That's like the lifestyle of sinners. It's only a matter of time before when you start listening to their opinions that you start walking in their lifestyle. That you got to be mindful of who you're standing with. I'm not saying that you need to distance yourself from your friends or your family, but you do got to wonder, am I starting to live like them? Am I starting to be okay with what they do? Do they know where I'm not okay with certain things? When I was on the baseball team, all these guys were talking about all these girls that they were having sex with, all these videos that they were watching, all these things that they were partaking in. And all I did, I said, hold on, guys. I was a junior on the baseball team. I said, guys, I would appreciate it if you stopped talking about that in front of me. And guess what happened? All of them, I changed the culture of that entire team all because I didn't put up with that lifestyle. I said, guys, I appreciate if you did not. I didn't tell them not to. I said, don't talk about that in front of me. All I did was say, hey, guys, as your teammate, I would appreciate it if we didn't talk about this stuff. And you know who complimented me the most? The coach. Eli, I've seen some things change. Like, we're not talking about the things that we used to joke about. And don't get me wrong, it didn't change entirely. But it was little by little. And in your life, there's things that change just because you choose to stand up. Not to just bend your knee to every lifestyle, but people do. But to be able to say, this is right and this is wrong. Who are you walking with? Who are you standing with? It says, do not plow with an ox and a donkey in Deuteronomy chapter 22, yoked together. Now, we could pull up the King James Version of that, but it is what it is. Who are you walking with? You have the choice to walk with them or not. Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together unless they've agreed to do so? Which means both of them have to agree. No one can force you to walk with them. But if you find that they're influencing you away from the things of Christ, again, check the fruit. It's got a bad root, right? If they're influencing me, you got to put them out. Jesus says, okay, these people, they got to get out because there's no faith here. They got to get out of this room because miracle's coming. The blessing's coming. But you got to remove. There's practical things. You want the peace of God? Remove some things from your life. Oh, well, peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But you're not lifting a prayer. You're not having Thanksgiving. It's not going to come. It will not come. Because faith is shown by works. Well, I got faith. To have faith in God's promise, but to not have faith in process is not faith at all. To have faith in his promise, but not to take the process seriously is not faith. It's called delusion. I'm believing God's going to have a breakthrough in my life, but you're never taking the practical steps. It's not going to happen, my friend. You can have all the faith in the world, but your faith is shown by what it does, not by what it says. And I would venture to say that if you're saying it, but you're not doing it, you actually don't believe it. And that's okay. We're actually at a much better place when we say, I actually don't really know if I believe it. Because if you believed it at the core of who you are, you would actually do it. Well, I believe this is going to be transformational if I separate these people. But then you don't. Then you actually, at the core, and this is okay to just know, at your core, you actually don't believe it. That's okay. Now we know where we're at. Lord, I believe. Help me in the areas where I don't. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It corrupts your morality. It corrupts your worldview. It says, sits in the seat of the scoffer. Because if you stand with someone, if you walk with someone, if you stand with them, eventually you become like them in your worldview. And you'll find yourself saying not things that the Bible says, but popular opinion says. And you actually don't even believe it. You only believe it because your friends say it or your coworkers say it. So you'll find yourself saying things that are outright unscriptural. Yeah, you know, like premarital sex is okay as long as you love each other. Right? Like you'll find yourself saying things like, hold on a second. Like the Bible says in Song of Solomon, do not awaken love until it so earnestly desires. And so some of us are going around like, man, I just want it, man, so bad. It's like, don't wake it up. You wake it up. It's going to be tough to kill it. Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit can help you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that gives us strength. But it's saying use wisdom. Right? Well, all my friends are like, it's okay then. No. We don't go off the morals of man. We don't go off the opinions of others. I don't care if they're saying she's dead. You got to get out. Because if you stay long enough, you'll start laughing at my faith. You're going to influence me. So Jesus is like, hold on, Jairus. Hey, everybody's got to go. You got to get out. So a good rule of thumb is, I've said this, but just to say it again, if I don't want that person's life, I don't let them speak into my life. Their fruit will reproduce in me. Again, information is different than influence, right? Are they influencing my lifestyle and everything? Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their ways, their way of life, and imitate their faith. You will imitate the people that you let have influence. Leaders who spoke the word of God to you, there's leaders that don't. And you will imitate the outcome of their faith. So here's just a little bit of how I live. I separate myself from people intentionally that are narcissistic, that are sarcastic. I separate myself from people that are angry. I used to be really angry. And I'm like, man, I'm not going to let that influence me. So you know what I do? I kind of get out. I remove myself from the situation, right? I separate myself from people that gossip. You know what? I love everybody. I'm outside. You can be angry at me. You could gossip to me. I might have to shut you down in the moment. Like, you can share all that. I know where to bring it to the Lord, right? But I'm going to separate myself from those people. I encourage you to do the same. Now, some of you are in that period between where you've decided to follow Jesus and you're like in that weird little middle stage where like, oh, my friends aren't following Jesus, but I'm following Jesus. And so how do I make that transition? Well, I found it to be true in my life that I've had to cut off relationships and enter this limbo mode before I was able to receive the relationships that God had for me. And it wasn't until I cut them off. There's a difference between cutting them off practically and then cutting them off mentally, right? Like when I said in my heart, I've moved on, that's when God brought in the people that I ultimately needed in my life. And I would say that could be the same for you. that sometimes you do have to fully remove them, enter into that faith. It's very uncomfortable. I'm telling you, and I'm asking you, embrace the uncomfortable. Embrace it. Just jump in. Be like, you know what? This is going to be a little awkward. I'm going to meet some new people. I'm going to go to group. I'm not saying you're going to go to group and be like, yo, my people. I'm not saying it's going to be like that, but you might find your ride or dies. That's why it's important that you're a part of group. Oh, he's there. He's going. Yeah, you best believe that's where I'm going right there. To be a part of, you can connect with different people and to find the people that are influencing you, building you up in faith. To be able to say, hey, that's all right, man. You know what? You're not that anymore. So why would you even talk about that? You're a new man. You're not going to go to bat that way of living. Your old friends would be like, yeah, dude, you deserve it. Like they mistreated you. Like, yeah, let's just go. Like, you can go drink and do whatever you want because, yeah, they. It's like, hey, that's, dude, you know what? You're not that anymore. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Right? You got to have some friends in your life that challenge you in that, that encourage you in that. To be able to surround yourself with good people. You don't want to know the best, what are some of the best ways? Dr. Mike Duffy, he's not a Christian, but again, he's not influencing me, but the information is correct. Right? The information is correct, and I can take it and say, you know what? I believe that is right. He said, you know where the best place to find friends is? It's actually to go and volunteer. He says, so you go to the soup kitchen and volunteer. You could go to a church, volunteer. You could go help out some people, volunteer. You know why? Because bad people don't volunteer. So you're going to find good people when you decide to volunteer. Is church a coincidence or is it by design? I can't help but think when God says becoming a part of the body, I understand the idea. You know, the Bible calls this the family of believers. God says the lonely amongst families. I'm not one to say that you have to leave your family, but if your family's influencing you away from Christ, then he who does not deny his mother, father, brother, and sister to follow me is not worthy of me. That's the context it's talking about. It's not saying that you deny your family that is also believers. But it's, I do have a priority to the family of believers than I do to my biological family. Now, I believe it is God's will that every single parent, every single grandparent, every single child, every single grandchild is in the household of faith, walking in the kingdom. That is God's design, generational. That is his design and his plan for your life. I can say that with full outright confidence. But sometimes there's a period where you do have to embrace the family of believers. Now, don't get confused with this word family. A lot of people are coming after cults right now because they use that word family. Well, they take it from the church. The church is known as the family of believers. There's a family of the world and a family of believers. And cults are trying to take it and be like, hey, they're cultish. They're trying to get you to say, well, hold on a second. Like, there is a truth that we're all looking for a place to call home. We are all children of the Most High God. We are all one body in Christ's name. We can find family here. But you cannot expect to have the promise without the process. Would you stand to your feet? So what can you do today? You can start. Groups meet tomorrow. Groups meet this week. You could go to Heart and Soul right after this and find out who we are as a church. Because if you're lonely, you gotta go through a process to be able to get connected. You want a spouse, you got to ask her out. You got to ask him out. Like, the guys probably should ask the girl out. But you do have to do a process. And I just want to encourage you today, like, I sometimes I have people dismiss. I'm going to dismiss this service. But I'll get out, and I'll see people already jetting. It's like, I understand, we got places to go, things to do. But if you're too busy to make relationships, especially in the household of faith, I got news for you, my friend. Then you're too busy. That's okay. Let's just realize it. Call it what it is. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to perpetually live in a life where you say, well, that's fine. Like, it's lonely at the top. And If you want to live that way, I know plenty of people, please believe, at the top that are not lonely. So you can believe that lie if you want. Or you can actually look like, hey, what good is it to get everything I ever wanted but miss everything I ever needed? And you'll be at the top. You'll be all alone. You won't have any people. Like, there's people that are living their lives for themselves, and they find out that it gets awfully lonely when you get older. And I just want to encourage you, best start today. Don't wait. What are you going to do today? So, what does that mean? Don't jet out. Talk to maybe one, two people. I'll be out there. I'll be waving. I'll say goodbye. And I feel like a kid sometimes, like, you know, bye. Like, see ya. Miss you like 10 steps ago. Bye-bye. Right? But just to go up and, guys, those practical things can really bring life transformation in your life. I hope this word has blessed you and has spoken to you. And I wanna pray for two people in here today. The first is at the beginning. You feel like you're at your wit's end to an extent. You're like Jairus, and you're like, man, I'm caught in between two voices. I want to speak a word of faith over you. But if you find yourself saying, man, I really need to partner with what God is speaking over my situation. I'm hurting, I'm broken, and I need to hear the voice of faith to impart in my situation. I want to pray over you today. Would you lift up your hand today so I can pray with you? I see hands. Come on. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would transform our situation. Father God, you see every single hand that's raised, that you would transform their lives, that they would not live by their experience, but they live by the word of truth, whether it be financial, whether it be health, whether it be relational, God, whether it be emotional, mental, trauma, whatever it may be. God, I thank you that you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Lord, that you comfort us in all of our affliction and that you do promise peace. So we pray right now that not a single person that has lifted up their hands would be anxious about anything, but through everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, they'd make their request be made known to you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We believe it and we declare it over every body of believer in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, we're standing in faith with you. I need you to know you're not alone. You need some faith, you can borrow some of mine. That's the beautiful thing about being in the house of God. Sometimes you're carrying others, and sometimes you need to be carried. But surround yourself with people that can carry you. It's important. Hey, I wanted to also take a moment, if you're in this place and you've never given your life over to the Lord, or maybe you have, and it's been a long time, and you can feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart today. With every head bowed in this place and every eye closed, I'm going to ask that every head bowed and every eye closed. This is a moment between you and God. And I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift up your hand because I want to know who I am praying for today. If you're saying, Pastor Eli, that's me. I haven't given my life over to the Lord yet, or I did when I was a kid, and I really, in my hardest of hearts, need to say, Lord, I want to live for you all the days of my life. Help me to do that. And you want to give your life back over to the Lord today. I'm going to have you lift up your hand on the count of three. Remember, it's not about the years wasted. It's about what you're going to choose today, right now. Would you lift up your hand on the count of three? One, two, three. Shoot up your hand. I see 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 your hand back there. Amen. Amen. I see your hand, bro. I see you. I see you. Hey, hands up. You can put it down now. I want you to know that you are making the best decision of your life. Holy Spirit is leading you. Now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask everyone to say this prayer as a sign of support that everyone lifted their hands, that to everyone that lifted their hands, but to know that it's not this prayer, but it's really just a heart. It's your heart that says, God, I need you. Would you say this prayer after me? Say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, so I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. So right now, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead that I may be saved. This is my new beginning. And from this day forward, I am a child of God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together. Every single hand.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If this message encouraged you, help us get the word out. Consider sharing it with a friend, rating, or subscribing. If you want to know more about our church, check out our website at mycitychurch.cc or our Instagram at mycitycentral. We look forward to sharing another encouraging word with you next week. God bless.